diversity.
Absolutely.
A man that also knows about bringing people together. A man whose presence calmed riots in cities at different times.
Mm-hmm. This is Africa Bambaataa featuring James Brown from about 1983, I'm guessing, 83, 84. I remember this from when I was in high school. This is Unity.
Mm-hmm.
And it smokes. Bambaataa got together with John Lydon to do World Destruction as Time Zone.
Very favorite.
And around about the same time, here's Bambaataa and James Brown.
Doing Unity.
The Soul Sonic Force may have been involved. I don't know, but here it is. It's Unity.
On Cosmic Slop.
On Radio K.
Everybody over there!
Seeking education!
Everybody over here!
We all need respect!
All the people of the world
are hoping for peace!
Everybody think!
Of Radio K is brought to you by It's Greek to Me. Located in the heart of Lynn Lake, It's Greek to Me has been serving up Greek lunches and dinners for over 20 years. From calamari to vegetarian daily specials, It's Greek to Me offers a variety of Mediterranean cuisine and a full Greek menu. It's Greek to Me is located at the corner of Lake and Lindale. They are open from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday and 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. on Sundays. It's Greek to Me, 612-825-9922. It's Greek to Me is a proud supporter of Radio K.
With a smile, says you got to go and strike today.
An ear-pleasing portion of Radio K is brought to you by Aardvark Records, now at a new expanded location at 924 Lowry Avenue at the intersection of Lowry and Central Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. Aardvark features a variety of new and used vinyl and CDs. Aardvark also pays cash for used music. Aardvark Records is proud to support Real College Radio, Radio K.
Request for my brother-in-law Christopher. NRBQ Captain Lou, WrestleMania 20 tonight.
Oh yeah,
it all begins again, one more time, all over again.
Oh,
for
and somewhere
for real this time.
Somewhere Vern Gagne is wondering why he doesn't have a cut of the action.
Slow motion shots of Ric Flair looking over his shoulder.
Hoo,
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 yeah,
hoo,
hoo.
Oh. What did we, before I look at
Nature Boy Ric Flair, before NRBQ, we heard the Cape Brothers singing Union Man.
Yeah, it was somebody wanted a bus strike union related thing, a request, and
few.
We came up with that one instead of, well, pretty much all of Mark's other requests. we don't have some of those. But anyway, we came up with one.
There's one. And African Bambaataa featuring James Brown, Unity.
Not, kind of just taking a lot of James stuff. You know, reworking it. That wasn't... I hadn't heard that in a while. I'd forgotten what it was.
Tapping the source for all that heavy funk. I say that in the most academic way possible.
What was that?
That heavy funk that they were laying down back in those days.
Was that the Get on the Good Foot kind of groove, wasn't that?
Yeah, more or less. I don't know that it was specifically Get on the Good Foot, but...
Yeah.
And again, we're going to analyze this.
Oh, this, you know.
In the most academic possible way. It may have been a new stone groove that he laid down, especially for that cut.
It was definitely a recycled riff of some kind. It's no Dr. Detroit, mind you.
Doctor!
He calls
Detroit.
You Doctor.
The Dr. Detroit theme is something to behold.
Oh, it's, man, I haven't heard that forever.
Yeah, I think. No, it's
don't
not
call
here.
Me Doctor.
The Dr. Detroit, and I think he does a version of Get Up Off of That Thing also on the, because at that point, Dan Aykroyd could pretty much command whatever he wanted if he was going to be in a movie, no matter how ridiculous it was. Mm-hmm. And dang it, he wanted James Brown in another one of his movies. And and there he was, singing Dr. Detroit. That was sort of like, he was like a robot madman doctor guy. Was he a crime fighter? Was he the villain?
I don't recall.
I don't think
Dan Aykroyd even recalls, really. Those were hazy days.
Well, you know, it's kind of like trying. It's kind of like asking Chevy Chase to remember what his favorite moment was of making the movie Modern Problems. Was it when the radioactive sludge poured out of the truck onto the hood of the car, making it possible that you could see your own aura? Or was it when you used your mind to control
when you
powers?
You actually did levitate. Those weren't special effects.
I believe he seduced a woman using mind power.
Kind of like in Zapped.
It was similar to that. Modern Problems.
Nothing like the early 80s for better living through chemistry films. What are you doing?
Hey, what the hell? Don't.
Some kind of sound effect? Anyway.
One of those. I was just trying to look up the movie thing while we were talking, and it was one of those websites that automatically starts playing something automatic. In this case, a promotion for the new Tom Hanks vehicle you may have seen ads for, called The Lady Killers.
Ah, yes.
In which he plays an eccentric guy with a funny laugh tick of some kind.
An old Southern colonel.
Yes.
Type.
Yes.
As opposed to the original Lady Killers with Alec Guinness and.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic. If anybody's going to monkey with a classic, I suppose it should be the Coen brothers.
Yes.
But
I just watched Intolerable Cruelty this weekend.
And how was that?
I enjoyed it, and there were some parts which were very funny. And, you know, it was some movie that they wrote, but they weren't going to direct. But George Clooney's pretty yeah. dang funny in it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it.
Allison, don't they give you an eraser here? You have to use your thumb?
See?
It was like the third world.
Oh.
She was...
There's got to be something. You can use that Impaler album and wipe it off with that.
There's no erasers in the third world?
No unclapped erasers.
Man. I think we need some sort of unclapped erasers for peace program to be implemented through the UN.
No, I think we need to...
Shut up.
To play some music or people are going to start getting antsy and send us snippy messages again.
Yeah, all right.
So here we go. P.P. Arnold.
Yeah.
Polly Arnold.
Yep.
From the USA, went over to the UK and became a big old soul star.
Yep.
Back in the mid to late 60s. This is Time Has Come, one of those really overproduced Andrew Lou Goldham things from Intermediate Records from the late 60s. It's a good one. It's P.P. telling a sad tale. Overwrought. Emotionally stressed. And taking us all along on the ride.
Emote along, won't you?
I think I shall.
Okay.
Time Has Come by P.P. Arnold.
On Cosmic Slot.
On Radio K.
What is more, you should be glad the time has come. It's Warhol, actually.
What did I say?
Hull. It's Hull. As in Hulls.
Andy Warhol.
What? Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol. Like Hull.
Andy Warhol.
Take
one.
Ah. They're ready?
Yeah.
Like to take a semen fix, be a standing cinema. Dress my friends up just for show, see them as they really are. Put the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Andy walking, Andy tired. Andy take a little snooze, tie him up when he fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When he wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you, to think about paint and to think about glue. What a jolly boring thing to do.
Andy Warhol, let's a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol, looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
You've been chasing the world.
telling me lies.
Radio K is proud to sponsor Mates of State on Saturday, March 20th at the Triple Rock. Doors for this all-ages show. We're at 6 p.m. The Monarchs and the April Epidemic will open the show. For more information, the Triple Rock's website is www.triplerocksocialclub.com.
Yes.
Requested Pilot.
Very nice. Pilot.
January.
The guys that bring you, oh, 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 it's magic. That is another hit, a follow-up hit that wasn't such a big hit. But
it was big in England, not around here.
Got a fantastic email requesting that song, and got no complaints about that one. Thank you. Who is that? That's Eric. Eric sent that in.
David Bowie before that with Andy Warhol.
Yes, also requested.
Off of the Hunky Dory album and P.P. Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Time Has Come.
Hey, before I forget, Phil Z Garbage Man phoned in, and longtime friend of Slop, celebrated the birthday involving the digit 4. That he's not willing to disclose the number. Had a rough birthday, but you know, he wants to hear one of his couple favorite songs.
Tax a couple zeros.
I'm gonna see if we can do that. He's over 40, but he's not 50. But somehow there's fours involved.
Okay.
Well, you know, that really leaves one option. But regardless, I didn't
leaves
press.
You several options, really. If you're
Over 40,
if you're over 40 and you're not 50, and there are fours involved, all of the 40s have fours involved, really.
Oh yeah, I was thinking backwards. Sorry, I was thinking of 44. Yeah, that would be logic. Don't try to baffle me with facts.
Don't try to pull no boogie woogie on the King of Rock and Roll.
It's true. God, this is a really moronic statement.
yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And what you said.
What I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, happy birthday to Phil. He's a good guy, and he requested either an Elton John tune or a Commodores tune. And we're going to try to.
All right.
Try to take care of him one way or the other.
That could be arranged. Did somebody ask for Whitaker?
Yes, we have a Roger Whitaker request that came from quite early in the show that we didn't...
Anything in particular?
No, pretty much anything would be great. He did name check The Last Farewell and Big Rock Candy Mountain. Big Rock Candy Mountain,
okay.
But not really a Whitaker original, so to speak.
No.
But we got lots of Whitaker.
Indeed, we do. And
he also. This is also from Pete, who says we brought up you mentioned Lance Kerwin earlier. And,
indeed, I did.
He wanted to know if we'd ever seen the after school special with Kerwin, where Kerwin gets hooked up with some bad guys, guns, and bank robberies, and that his recollection is that the character's name was Quacky Quackenbush.
Corky Quackenbush.
Do you know that? Are you guessing?
Pretty sure.
I don't know. Anyway, point being, no, I don't.
I saw more than my share of after-school specials.
I saw some, but the only one that sticks in my mind is, of course, is The Boy Who Drank Too Much, starring Scott Baio as the team drinking hockey player.
Oh, okay.
And one other something about, and I don't know if this was a movie or an after-school special about some young school athlete. If somebody else can help me put facts to my vague recollections, a guy whose dad was ailing and ill, it was looking like frail, and that the doctor told him the next really hot day could do him in.
Okay.
And that the kid was off at the, you know, working out at you know, practice, sports practice of some kind. And then there was
the last game of the season.
And there was a highly dramatic scene where, like, they showed, all they showed was, like, a close-up of a thermometer on a window going up higher than, you know, the next, you know, the temperature the doctor had warned about. And then it was, like, you know, sad music and you know, fading things into, you know, the standing at the funeral or something.
I would imagine that there would be a at least one, perhaps several, after-school special-related websites out there. That's the sort of thing that our generation would celebrate and perhaps be obsessively cataloging.
To within an inch of its life.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Kerwin's born in 1960.
Jeepers.
Oh, he was in the Boy Who Drank Too Much. There he is right there, 1980. He played Billy Carpenter.
Okay.
I'm not seeing anybody named Quackenbush. God dang, he was in The Boy Who Drank Too Much. Isn't that nice? Oh. Once Upon a Midnight Scary in 79. There's James of 15 and all that stuff.
Yep.
I'm not seeing the quacky, quacky
Salem's
Bush,
Lot,
however.
Of course, which is fantastic.
He's in there. I would like to see PJ and the President's Son from 1976, a TV movie in which he plays PJ. Or The Amazing Cosmic Awareness of Duffy Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Look at all these TV
specials.
Oh, I've
seen that.
Have you really?
Mm-hmm.
What about Hammerman's After You?
Yeah, that too.
You've seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you remember seeing these things?
Oh, because I could sympathize with Hammerman's After You, because Hammerman was a bully. He was after, after Lance Kerwin.
Fair enough.
So there you go.
Children of Divorce from 1980. He played Tony.
And of course, the Children of Divorce would run off the rails and be, chased by the police. And
right.
Knock over liquor stores.
Oh, he was in Outbreak. That's about the most recent thing he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no Quacky Quackenbush, but there he was. Yeah, there he was.
And he's not the lead singer of Washington Social.
No, apparently not.
Okay.
Oh, and there he is playing himself in the Battle of the Network Stars in 1977.
Yep.
January.
Ooh, yeah, by virtue of being a teenager, of course, he was more athletic than some, but he didn't handle himself all
at
that
the risk
well.
Of boring you with a litany, here's a list of his television appearances, mm-hmm. like other shows in which he appeared. Lance Kerwin has appeared.
Mm-hmm.
It gets pretty good. Emergency, Shazam, Little House on the Prairie, Cannon, Gunsmoke, Wonder Woman,
Bionic
Woman, Trapper John M.D., Hotel.
Yeah, he was Billy Batson on Shazam. He used to travel with Mr. Mentor in the...
I said he played Chad Martin. He played Chad Martin on Shazam.
Oh.
He wasn't the dude in Shazam.
No, that was Mr. Mentor. Then there was a little kid.
Right, but he wasn't the kid. Unless his name was Chad Martin. He was on Simon and Simon. He was on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, little kid.
He was on Houston Nights. He was on Murder, She Wrote. Oh. And he was on Finder of Lost Loves. Good Lord. Who did play the guy in Shazam? And then we'll stop pursuing this line of ridiculous stuff.
Well, I think on Shazam...
Michael Gray played Billy Batson.
Oh, okay.
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel was transformed, played by some other guy.
He was played by Jackson Bostwick for two seasons, and then by John Bostwick. Davey in two other seasons.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Mentor was played by Les Tremaine.
Oh, of course, Les Tremaine.
More acting.
Mm-hmm. So,
let's get on with things.
Yeah, if you look up Quacky Quackenbush in Google, you'll probably find something. That said, as we mentioned, somebody wanted to hear some Roger Whittaker.
Yes.
The Last Farewell? Oh, we can hook you up with that. No problem.
No problem.
You don't have to drive all the way up to Brainerd to hear this on the radio. This is The Last Farewell. It's Roger Whittaker. It's requested tunage.
Majestic Cosmic Slop.
Majestic and requested on Cosmic Slop.
As a ship lies rigged and ready in the harbor, tomorrow for old England, she sails. Far away from your land of endless sunshine, to my land full of rainy skies again. And I shall be aboard that ship tomorrow, though my heart is full of tears at this farewell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dear, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. For you are beautiful, and
you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. I heard there's a wicked war a-blazing, and the taste of war I know so very well. Even now I see the foreign flag a-raising, their guns on fire as we sail into hell. I have no fear of death, it brings no sorrow, but how bitter will be this last farewell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. Though death and darkness gather all about, and my ship be torn apart upon the sea, I shall smell again the fragrance of these eyes in the heaving waves that brought me once to thee. And should I return safe home again to England, I shall watch the English minstrel through the day. For you are beautiful, and I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word. And I have loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell.
Did you know that radio...
Thank you. like I wasn't there at all. Something made me feel so cold. I wanted just to hide. It felt like deep inside of me. I've heard those lies so many times.
Susan Jacks, All the Tea in China.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-wife of Terry Jacks.
Yes.
Of Seasons in the Sun fame. One half of the Poppy family.
Yes.
Or one half of the voting members of the Poppy family. There were other tangential members.
There are other Poppies.
But, yeah, Susan and Terry were the two big ones. That was All the Tea in China. Before that, Scott Walker. Sadly truncated due to technical difficulties. If Ships Were Made to Sail, a fine Jimmy Webb composition, and Roger Whittaker started things off with The Last Farewell, a very soft three-song set of music.
Requested. God.
Demented.
Yes. We received a call back from Garbage Man Phil, who, number one, told me how old he was, and number two, related a story that he once, he tells such great stories, but I can't really tell them all on the air properly, due to some, you know, decorum.
Yes.
And, but he actually did lighting at a show in California at a Catholic girls' school for a performance where the star was Michael Gray, the guy who played Shazam on TV, and that he was, in Phil's opinion, a horrible human being. So let the libel suits fly, but here it is. As I look and saw that VH1 did in fact visit and drop in on Mr. Gray to find out about Where Are They Now, TV superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Gray now owns a floral shop with his wife that caters to numerous celebrities. Among his favorite clients are Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne. So says the internet, so it must be true.
Okay, then. Probably because they don't keep a whole lot of track of how much money they spend on flowers, and so
yep.
Just keep the business coming.
Oh, my God. You know, it's like the Elton John thing. He has multiple homes with things in them, and they just run, and the amount of money he burns through in a month and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's just for flowers. Speaking of celebrities who show up in strange places later on in their careers, I was watching the TPT, the public television. They are having a pledge drive, and I encourage people to support.
It's PPD, Perpetual Pledge Drive.
I encourage people to support public broadcasting, and that includes TPT. But they bring out The Rock, right? As baby boomers get older, as people like myself get older, whatever.
Say, I'm down with that.
I enjoy it. I don't necessarily wish to see that other programming. I am motivated to pull out my credit card and support this station because the Moody Blues make me feel young again.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I've been party to, TPT trying to do that for ELO, and they've trot out a Who concert, actually, from a couple years back.
There was a great Elton John one.
Yep. Well, it's time for Dennis DeYoung. Dennis DeYoung.
It's his time.
Dennis DeYoung with a Philharmonic Orchestra, with an orchestra, performing the music of Styx, as well as his fabulous solo hit Desert Moon, and music from his interpretation of, his musical interpretation of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Performed at the Rosemont Horizon Theater in Chicago with an orchestra. He does all his hits. And I saw that they're running this. I'm like, oh, well, this will be interesting.
Interesting, yep.
The man who brought us Mr. Roboto is a full stage show, including costumes and laser lights.
Because really, these days he has too much time on his hands.
Ooh,
zing. He's got to do something with it.
And as I'm watching this, and I happened in on the segment, which was the extended...
Because you don't want to be no blue-collar man.
You sure don't, because, you know... Never mind. I'm watching the part where it's all about the Hunchback of Notre Dame, the near opera stuff, and it turns into a two-man sing-off as he and this, you know, younger, stronger-voiced guy are just belting it out there. It's this total show tune city. And then they cut to the thing, and dear God, if Dennis DeYoung, lead singer of Styx, was not in Minneapolis. Flew in. Talked about flying in from Chicago with his wife. His wife was working the phones on camera, taking your calls right now.
Wow.
In the studio, chatting it up with the hosts, including the Tom guy that I met when I was very, very ill-advisedly thrown in front of a camera just to talk about ELO. No. But, you know, and Dennis DeYoung was schmaltzy as all get out. He was so Ron Paul Peel mode, cracking one-liners, and his hair is interesting. And it's like, you know, when people ask about my wife, can you follow me? Can you follow me? He's making the camera follow him up, and he's mugging for the camera, posing with his wife, and then they...
Wow, he's done that before.
And then they did the shout-out to the, you know, they met a young man on his way back who was wounded, serving in the military, and he's coming back to Minneapolis, so they gave a shout-out to the young man they met on the plane, and then he asked for a round of applause for all the men and women serving in the military, so that spontaneously happened during the pledge drive.
Jeepers.
And then he's picking up the CD. Look at all these hits. Look at him, he says. Lorelei, Babe, Too Much Time on My Hands, Mr. Roboto. And I heard this in the other room, and I looked at him like, that's him reading off his own song. And then the show. And they're pitching a double live CD, a DVD of the show.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the pledge drive itself. And then, oh my goodness. The he's coming to the Orpheum Theater this fall for a music of Styx as performed by Dennis DeYoung and a bunch of other people. And and it's coming to the Orpheum.
That
so they're giving away
too.
Tickets to that as part of the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, is this going to be the full thing? Yep, we're lining up the orchestra. He's talking about the show. He's promoting it. He's really working it. He's working hard for both himself and for the station. And God help him that, you know, that's a fine endeavor. Just was kind of schmaltzy. And then here's where he drops the bomb. And I just really rolled my eyes. He shouts to some... buddy working with him off camera, we're gonna have the whole thing, the choir orchestra, a lot of music, the whole rock band will be there, plus the orchestra, and have we got the children's choir? Have we got the children's choir lined up? And he's looking off camera, and he goes, working on it, we're gonna get the children's choir lined up for the stuff. And then the pledge break is over, and they go back, and he performs, it's the video, it's the concert again. He performs Mr. Roboto with the orchestra and the rock band and the backup singers and a giant Kilroy mask behind him. and he's dressed in a, you know,
just
sharp
like
black
back
suit.
In the day.
It wasn't like back in the day, because back in the day he didn't look like Casino Man doing these robot dance moves.
Didn't look like Joey Buttafuoco.
He was
stuck in a jumpsuit.
It was really, really, it was really, really weird. The Mr. Roboto performance was really, you know, the show tune stuff worked because it was like an orchestra and a stage setting and a theater, but suddenly it was like, it was, you know, you could debate, Styx fans may debate whether Mr. Roboto really qualifies as rock anyway, but this was really, really not rock. This was show tune Styx involving him doing these stiff robot moves, and then in the end, a handheld Kilroy mask in which he was singing to it at the end as he's going, I'm Kilroy! Kilroy! But it was just...
Kilroy.
And there was an electric guitar on stage, but it was mixed really low.
Oh boy.
I wish I'd have seen the other rock songs, but Mr. Roboto is such a not rock song. It's majestic, it's anthemic, but it's
iconic.
But it's not,
what our generation is into.
It's not really
for all the wrong reasons.
It's not really rock, and this really was not a rock presentation,
no,
Mr. Roboto. And they hesitated to point this out at multiple times, and I don't know how wise this was. This fabulous DVD and CD of this performance by Dennis DeYoung performing the music of Styx,
yep.
Not available in any stores.
Well.
Which says,
you have to
which
take
says two things. Number one, exclusive. Number two, nobody wanted it in this story.
Well.
He's got a super, he's super serving his fan base. And he's finding him also, finding an outlet through, public television. And bless him for it. But there was something really kind of awkwardly hucksterish about the whole thing that left me mesmerized and unable to turn the channel.
With a bottle of snake oil in your hand at the end of it.
How did I end up with this? Why do I own a Dennis DeYoung DVD?
He clouded my judgment.
That whole evolution of aging of aging rock stars reaching audiences, they can't get new music or even some of the, you know, there's no radio outlet for them other than going on the concert trail, and public television is a fine outlet for them to try to do that. But there's still something awkward about how you present it, and him mugging for the camera and kind of leaping around the studio was an interesting sight.
Yeah, well, one of these days we'll see Mike Love and Bruce Johnson and a bunch of other guys on public television shilling their stuff.
Awesome.
But in the meantime, we have fine memories and the music that they made when they were at the top of their game.
Yes. Whose?
The Beach Boys.
Oh, really? Which game are
we
on top
of?
No,
we don't have Bruce Johnston's Wipeout Hero.
No,
we could.
No.
We don't have Mike Love and Celebration.
Oh, we do
although
have
we
that,
could.
Actually. Oh, we do.
But no, right at hand, we have The Little Girl I Once Knew, which is...
a fabulous song.
A very good song. A single put out right before Brian Wilson really got into it. This is it's one of his more, you know, compartmentalized, orchestralized,
multi-movement
thing.
This is him coming into his own in the studio during the run-up to Pet Sounds.
Absolutely.
And it was interesting. And it's nifty. And it confounded DJs at the time who were used to everything clipping along and fast, and talk,
stops,
talk.
Stops, it starts, it...
It has a giant pause.
We're going to get Phil one of his birthday songs.
Okay.
But in the meantime, here's The Little Girl I Once Knew by the Beach Boys.
On Cosmic Slop.
On Radio K. Okay, we got to make this brief.
Brief.
Happy birthday to Phil Z Garbage Man.
Phil Z Garbage Man wants to hear some. See you next week.
Soft sound. Dave's up next. You're listening to KUOMA in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and KUOM FM St. Louis Park. That's Radio K.
We'll be back with more Cosmic Slop 2 o'clock next Sunday with Chuck and Joel. We'll see you there.
No, it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the grades out of the parking fines. You'll read the paper, you'll sip your mug, while little Bob and Janie stay between the lines. The postman waves, the cashier smiles, your boss is glad you meet deadlines. You take a bow, the crowds all cheer. It took a lot of super stuff to get you here. Get you here.